and gentlemen, delegates of Illinois Farm Bureau, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome Secretary, USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue. Mr. Perdue has been here on a number of occasions in the state of Illinois to listen and hear your thoughts, your comments about whatever the issues are that we deal with on a daily basis. And it is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce Mr. Secretary Sonny Perdue. Let's give him a warm Farm Bureau welcome.
Thank you all. Well, thank you, Rich. I feel like I'm interrupting something. Was that the farm bill y'all were debating there? I think Congress could use your help here if you might want to vote on some of those things. But good morning, and I appreciate very much the opportunity to visit with you briefly here this morning. And I hate to interrupt that, but those kind of meetings can go on interminable. You may have welcomed it. I don't know. But nonetheless, I'm delighted to be here. Rich, you at Farm Bureau have been extremely helpful every time I've been to Illinois to help us gather up people that can help us understand the policies that are happening out here, how it affects the producers in the field and the farms. And I appreciate very much the relationship that we've had. And thank you and Illinois Farm Bureau for the relationship that way. I rely on Rich and his colleagues around the country a lot. The American Farm Bureau Federation and all of its state affiliates are really important listening posts for us and help us with very helpful, candid advice about how we can do our jobs better. I really was going to begin with the farm bill today, and I will get to that in just a moment, but I guess trade may be the topic of the day after the news over the weekend, and I just wanted to address that for a few minutes. It sounds very promising. Rich and I were talking on the way in with in dealing with the Chinese. It's never over till it's over. And as farmers, you know that it's not what you think you're going to make, but it's what you take to the elevator and sell and take to the bank after that. So we're hopeful that the good news is there. I think, again, it represents the fact that the President Trump has gotten the Chinese attention regarding the way they've conducted business over a number of years, and those structural and non-structural areas, the tariffs and the non-tariff barriers, were points of discussion in Argentina, and we'll continue to flesh those out with China as we go forward. Tariffs, obviously, the retaliatory tariffs have been extremely harmful to producers such as you and your colleagues, and especially in the soybean and other areas, but even the non-tariff barriers over biotech and those kind of things, and the kind of things that we need for China to recognize have been just as harmful in that way. And we're going to deal over those structural and non-structural issues over the next little while. As you know, the intellectual property transfer through either theft or forced transfer has been really at the top of the discussions here with the president, and I'm glad that he has brought this agreement down. It amazes me how the press and others in this dynamic political situation we're in treat that sometime. As you know, he and the Canadian and the Mexican leaders signed the USMCA agreement this week, and the fur in Washington is all about the things that didn't get done and how we need this. It kind of reminded me of that old joke you hear about the duck hunter had a great lab. He was so proud of it. He was going to take his friend out to duck hunting, and he knocked a duck down on the water, and the lab was pretty amazing. He didn't swim out there. He just walked on the water, picked up the duck, and came back. And the coffee shop the next day or so, he said, "What'd you think about the guy's lab?" He said, "Well, he can't swim." So that's kind of what the way Washington is these days. When you do something, most all of us, when NAFTA talked about being withdrawn from, we were saying, first of all, from agriculture perspective, do no harm. And in every aspect there, minus maybe one or so, it's been improved. The fresh fruits and vegetable people in Florida and in the South and along the border we were not able to get to those provisions. But by and large, the Canadian access and other things were much improved in that. It again solidifies those markets over the next several years. Two of our top three destinations of exports, we've come to rely on Mexico and Canada, and it's very, very important. And I think one of the ways that you all in Farm Bureau can be helpful, look at the agreement, see if you don't think it's better, and you know that your members of Congress have to ratify this, and you want to express your opinion to them when you have an opportunity to speak with them, or when you make the opportunity to speak with them about how important the trade negotiations and the trade agreement is with the United States and Mexico and Canada on the USMCA agreement. So from my perspective, it didn't get everything we wanted. That's what negotiations are all about. But by and large, we're a whole lot better off than we were with the original NAFTA. And from a technological perspective, from a biotech perspective, it addresses a lot of issues that we didn't have addressed before that. So I hope that you will continue to make your views known about the USMCA, and as we look forward to finding out more about the agreement between President Xi and President Trump over the weekend. It's coming here this weekend. Somebody said, well, it's pretty interesting to weekend to come to the Illinois Farm Bureau. I said, well, when you work with President Trump, almost every day is pretty interesting. So, but it is interesting today, and we're happy for the news. I don't want to be too coy about it today. I'm excited about the possibility of China buying our stuff again and stop stealing our stuff. That's really what it's about. We want to buy our stuff and stop stealing it, you know. Based on that applause, I really do, on behalf of the president, I want to thank you all in agriculture for having borne the brunt of these retaliatory tariffs, but yet you understand the long game. And I think that's because you're people of the land. You understand the law of the land in agriculture. You can't plant corn in August and harvest in October. You know that. You got to do things in order, and it's a long game. And I, on behalf of the president, he didn't ask me to say this, but I want to say it because I've been really proud of our agricultural community over the last several months, and particularly as you stood by and giving the president the benefit of the doubt in the elections and those kind of things. So I want to thank you for that on his behalf. And we want to be good stewards of what we've been given. And that's why you are retaliated against, because you've been such great stewards and great producers and great exporters, not having a trade deficit, but a trade surplus for this country. And the president understands that. That's why he continues to tweet out strongly. I want to tell you, he has high expectations of this Chinese deal. He's expecting more than talk. And it again reminds me of, this is a true story, it reminds me of the, we don't tell many of those. When I first got elected governor of Georgia, I had a big old bulky security guy. He was huge, and he was just buffed up, and there was a smaller, much smaller guy who was in the press. I don't know, he had a negative Napoleon complex or something, but just kind of kept needling the security guy, like, you big old meathead, I can take you any day, that kind of thing. Just really in his face in a sort of a cruel kind of way. And finally, this big old security guy looked down at him one time. He said, okay, little buddy, you got the talking part done. So we don't want any more talking part. We want to get it done, right? That's what we want to get done with the trade deals. And I'm trusting that we can. There are really some serious structural issues over the transfer of technology, the theft of technology, the forced transfer, and those kind of things that really matter globally over what kind of country, what kind of world we're going to live in the future. China's stated that their objections in their 2025 plan, their objectives in the 2025 plan, and I want this country to be just as great, just as strong, just as prosperous, and has just as much potential for my grandchildren as we've had in our lives here. I know we're in a tough spot, kind of a challenging spot in agriculture, but the great news is you folks are tougher, and it's tough certainly on some of our young folks, and I appreciate very much you all working in the Farm Bureau with our young leaders, our ag leaders, because we're going to need them around. You can look around the room today and see most of y'all look closer to me than them. So we know what the demographics are for agriculture, but with the technological advances, I'm still an optimist. I'm bullish on agriculture in so many ways, and we're going to make it through just like you always have, but I really appreciate that. Certainly the farm bill is important, and I think we're going to get one. We were hoping to see the text of the farm bill tonight, but that's been put off for several days based on the memorial and the respect and the reverence for President Bush's death. That will take place mostly in D.C. this week, and I think the negotiators are going to use that time of relief to just hammer out some maybe final details in the farm bill. So hopefully we'll see it by the first of next week, and we believe things are going to be relatively good. We didn't get everything that we would like in there, but that frankly doesn't deal that much with production agriculture. The president was very intent over solidifying the work rules and for food nutrition. You all well know and have probably accepted the fact and welcomed the fact that our supplemental nutrition or food stamp program is tied with the programmatic crops in the farm bill over the titles and one that deal with your commodities for the most part. And that's typically been a good alliance to get votes there that are needed to pass a farm bill. The president was felt like, as I do, that in times of unemployment of less than 4%, 3.7%, in a food program that's a food nutrition, supplemental nutrition program that's $70 billion, that's a B, $70 billion, that while we saw the numbers go up from 17 million people on food stamps prior to the recession to over 40 million, and now it's just dropped down just under 40 million with that kind of unemployment. We think states are abusing the waiver process that was put in place during the recession, and that we think they got it right to start with back in the 90s when the negotiation over welfare reform was that if you have food stamps, it's for an emergency situation, a loss of job, health, and those, you ought to be able to do that. If you're an able-bodied working adult without dependents, that's what that ABOD's all about, able-bodied working adults without dependents, there should be a limited time on food stamps. In the political dynamic with the 60 votes needed in the Senate, we were not able to secure that, but we will announce here soon after the farm bill. There are some regulatory issues that we can do within the USDA or the regulations that will tighten up those waivers to put people back to work in that way. So that was one of the things. There were some forestry provisions that the forest fires, you all are all aware of, that we would have loved to have had more proactive, preemptive type of work of cleaning up the forest, managing those forests and the public lands the way many private landowners manage those and help to prevent forest fires. And environmentalists, again, push back on that on their side, and we were not able to get that. But the good news is, for most of the programmatic crops, you guys are going to be in good shape. There's going to be more flexibility over PLC and ARC, and also an opportunity to update your annual production history more recently. In that way, as we've seen yields continue to go up and to do that. Crop insurance, obviously the core of that safety net, will be preserved. And conservation measures, I think, from a EQIP program and those kind of things will be preserved and possibly even enhanced. We're going to get more money for trade promotion, not only in the market facilitation program, but also in the farm bill to help us build other markets. While we've all worried about China and its impact on our business, particularly in the bean sector, I say, Rich, that we probably became too dependent on one customer. And we want to go around the world, build markets in so many other places. There's still the same number of people. And frankly, we need to build markets in India and Pakistan and Indonesia and Malaysia and Thailand and Vietnam and Philippines and all over. And that's what Ted McKinney is doing around the world, knocking on doors as our first Undersecretary for Trade, trying to develop the markets that will benefit us for the long-term future, not to be held hostage to one major customer as we've been this year in the trade promotion. So We want to do that. We do expect the second tranche of the market facilitation program to be out soon. We'll have more details about that hopefully the end of the week or the first of the week as we can conclude that. So I want to thank you again. It's a opportunity just to visit with you directly. Y'all got a lot of business, but you're an important part. I appreciate, frankly, your involvement in an organization that advocates for agriculture in a very positive way. Just the work you were doing on the screen when I came in. Those are important things. And it's good to be able to do that from a county perspective all the way up. You're really a democratic republic the way you work your organization from elected leaders locally within your counties, coming up to the state level, then affiliating with the American Farm Bureau Federation. That's important for agriculture. No longer, ladies and gentlemen, can we stand behind our farm gates and our farm fences and say, just let me produce. We cannot do that. There are things out here today that have been here that we've got to be able to, amazing advocates for. You all do a good job. There's nothing that we ought to be ashamed about in American agriculture. But we got to tell that story. I'll leave you with one little proverb that I use, and we see it very applicable in America today. It says, when man has not enough to eat, he has one problem. When he has enough to eat, he has many problems. We've created many problems in America today because you guys have fed them for so long, so affordably, so safely, and so nutritiously that we've become complacent about that. And now they want to do every and control every nth of what you want to do. You've got to be advocates, and there's no better organization to advocate through than the Farm Bureau organizations in the state level and at the federal level. So I'm honored to be here. Thank you very much. Y'all have a great meeting.
Again, thank you very much, Mr. Secretary, for coming and speaking to our delegates.